This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A tentative deal with the White House on infrastructure. Wow. That is big news. And there's a shakeup along the border. The head of the U.S. Border Patrol is out. Rodney Scott gone. What does that mean while there's this massive crisis going on? We'll talk about that. And the latest with COVID-19. More than 500 colleges and universities are going to require vaccinations for at least some students and employees, mostly in states that were won by Joe Biden in 2020. Once again, it's the us's and the them's, we, you, etc. We know it. It's the polarization of America. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here. All are welcome. The red carpet has already been thrown across the threshold. So whether you've been here many, many times or you're a first-timer, welcome to the party. Coming up on the show, we're going to hit the mailbag with all of your thoughts, plus internet safety. Is there such a thing? I woke up to messages that at 3:48 I had been hacked by somebody in England, and luckily I had controls in place, and sure enough, it was easy enough to flip passwords and whatnot. So it was a good reminder that even on an individual level, as we talk about hacking and et cetera with big companies, that you should rotate and change passwords often and make them very, very tough. Because I had done that, it protected me from really being vulnerable to what could have been disastrous. All right, this isn't disastrous. This is kind of shocking, actually, because the way it was looking in the world of there is no agreement and you're playing on one team or the other, as I was alluding to right at the top of this, a bipartisan group of senators did, yes, kind of reach an agreement with the White House on Wednesday on hundreds of billions of dollars in spending for an infrastructure system. That is big, because it looked like first it starts off $4 trillion, then it's reduced, then there seems to be no agreement on what it would include, but the details we don't know. We don't know a lot of the specifics. Obviously, bridges, etc., would be in this. That's part of it. But what else does it include? The fact that it's this close, though, is big. Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, said there's a framework of an agreement on a bipartisan infrastructure package. There are still some details to be worked out. So the senators that were part of this, five Democrats, five Republicans. Those are two teams, right? And the White House officials. So they did reach some kind of framework. What does that mean for some of you listening? It may mean jobs in some of the areas where clearly there's going to be money pumped into improving highways, roads, and bridges across the country, and it should create a chunk of jobs. In that respect, I think everybody agrees with that, especially when you look at the conditions of some of the highways and the roads and the bridges that need that extra jolt, that extra money pumped in. But what else it includes, you know, we don't know. It's definitely far short of the initial vision of, I think at one point, even really a crazy $4 trillion was thrown out, but then it really settled down to $2.2 trillion, and now that has dropped significantly too, because some things were separated outside of that. But and then there's a couple of different tracks, definitely public works projects. And then what else that would include? I would assume it could be 5G and some of that upgrading, but we don't know. We just know broad strokes at this point. But that's good news. It's really good news because it's so, so necessary. So necessary. I feel compelled to mention this at the top because this was a shocker. And the second it happened, I had two tech people that I know super well that work as software engineers text me almost at the same time that, whoa, McAfee's dead. And if you have McAfee as your protection on your computer, it's, you know, preventing those cyber things and hacking from happening. John McAfee was the antivirus software genius, the entrepreneur, who faced extradition from Spain to the U.S. on tax-related criminal charges. He was found dead. According to Spanish newspapers like El Mundo, attempts were made to resuscitate McAfee, who was arrested at the airport in Barcelona last October. And it's wild because earlier in the day, Spain's national court had approved the extradition of McAfee to the U.S., where he was wanted on tax-related criminal charges as well, and could have gotten 30 years, who knows. But the 75-year-old is dead after cutting that deal. And part of what happened to McAfee, who made an incredible amount of money and got in front of internet security before so many other people did, was charged with evading taxes after failing to report income made from promoting cryptocurrencies while he did consultant work, as well as income from speaking engagements and selling the rights to his life story for a documentary. That's where the tax woes jumped all over him. And it was like three fiscal years they were talking about, 2016, 2017, 2018. So his attorney was notified that he had passed away. No comments on the cause of death. You know, here there was all this big push preparing to fight for his innocence in the United States courts, and he was going to get extradited, but that's it. John McAfee dead at the age of 75. I think back, 12 years ago, he, you know, again acquired his company, McAfee, was acquired, Intel acquired it in a deal that was worth $7.68 billion. Wow. $68 billion. And I know some people that worked, I know two guys that worked for McAfee, and in the beginning they had just great things to say about him, and then obviously things kind of went off the rails, that's for sure. All right, at the border, what's going on there? Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott, I mentioned his name already, booted. So now there's going to be somebody new in that leadership position at a really tricky time. There was no specific reason that was cited for forcing him out. He had been 29 years on the job, but he was clashing with Democrats in D.C. and the Biden administration on how to deal with illegal immigration and other border-related problems. Scott posted a statement on social media saying he had been given the option to resign, retire, or relocate with no rationale provided. He described it as a pro forma notice so the new administration can place the person they want in that position. But he said in the post he released he might stay for 60 days. So that's a pretty high profile role. And for months there's been speculation about what would happen there with all the things that are happening along the border and who might step in. Imagine that job. Don't come. Kamala Harris, the vice president, saying that when she was on the road, if you remember, and it's been pretty sticky the last couple of weeks. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
And a sentencing of a 49-year-old hair salon owner who pleaded guilty to one misdemeanor count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. And we're talking about January 6th, Anna Morgan Lloyd, her sentence, and what happened there. 500 people so far have been arrested for participating in the riot in what's become one of the biggest investigations ever undertaken by the Department of Justice. So Morgan Lloyd, prosecutors said, did not participate in any of the violence at the Capitol, but posted on Facebook after the attack that it was the best day ever, adding a nice juicy curse word to that description. And that's what the prosecutors say, that it initially it was ill-considered, misguided commentary because there was no evidence that she planned her attack or incited others, and because she worked with investigators, admitted to what she did, and expressed her sorrow over what she did. So what happened to this grandmother from Indiana who participated in the January 6th riot at the Capitol? She's got to perform community service and pay $500 in restitution. The sentence is what the defense had asked for, and lucky her, the government supported it, because, you know, this can go either way when you're before a judge. Let's face it, the judge, Judge Lamberth, told Morgan Lloyd Wednesday in court, "Probation comes once in a lifetime. This is your once." There was a letter that she wrote to the judge saying that she felt ashamed that the riot had turned violent, apologized for the chaos that day. Interesting enough, Morgan Lloyd said she's a registered Democrat who found herself supporting Trump in the 2016 election, which she found hard to believe because, she said, "I didn't like him at all before, but he was standing up for what we believed in, we couldn't argue with it. That was also part of her letter. But the key thing here is, of all the 500, this is one of the first ones that we're seeing out of what happened at the beginning of the year. So she does get community service, 40 hours of it. She's got to pay the $500 in restitution, and she could have, if the judge had decided, Judge Royce Lamberth had decided to do this, he could have given her 6 months in jail and a much heftier fine, but decided not to do that. Phew. That's definitely dodging what could have been disastrous for a woman who is really the matriarch of her family and has responsibilities helping out the family with kids and watching kids and, you know, that kind of thing. Not since the Green Goblin flew over Gotham City in Spider-Man have we seen anything like this before, but there was a man who flew over Times Square on a hoverboard. So police in New York are dumbfounded and say, well, they're investigating it. Now, Hunter Cowald said he got permission to fly the aircraft beforehand, saying he spent years to make it happen and do it safely and do it properly. So he did the stunt over stunned people at the crossroads of the world, really, with a camera strapped to his helmet, and posted videos on YouTube of flying all over the place. He said it's a highly engineered device. I spent a long time on this to make it work. There's safety built into it. I have two motors, and if a motor fails, I can still land safely. I don't know. Something about a guy on a hoverboard suddenly appearing over Times Square that might freak you out. He says he had permission. So the NYPD said they're looking at the videos and they're looking into it. They're looking into why this happened, how this happened, because it's illegal to fly any drone-like aircraft in Manhattan without permission. And a hoverboard, yeah, anything. Anything like that you cannot do. So crazy that somehow, it wasn't the Green Goblin. It was this guy who said he spent years working on it, and I wonder if they'll come up with any kind of a fine or anything for him as they trace back to who would give permission for that. All right, this is not good news. The CDC safety group says there's likely a link between a rare heart inflammation in young people after a COVID shot. There's been about 1,200 cases of this, mostly in people 30 and under who got Pfizer or Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. 300 million doses of the shots have been administered as of just a few days ago in June. For both vaccines, rather, combined, there were 12.6 heart inflammation cases per million doses. Of course, if you're the one with that heart problem, it would be scary. And I've listened to some of the kids who have gotten it talk about it, and where they just felt like their heart was pounding out of their chest. And they're investigating this, obviously looking at it. And what has happened mostly is within 1 week after dose two, the chest pains are the biggest indicator that something's not right. They still say it's a rare event for this to happen. Men under 30 make up the bulk of the cases, and most appear to be pretty mild. 9 people that were hospitalized, 2 in intensive care as of June 11th. And while that's going on, it's still all about dealing with Delta, that variant that I talked about a lot in our previous show, and where it seems to be popping up the most. And if you've had a vaccine, does it protect you from this? I mean, that's the thing. We don't know all the ins and outs of it's science, right? So there's still a lot that's happening in labs. There's still a lot that's being worked on. Boosters, What about these other variants? You know, all of that. Identifying any other mutations. And, of course, the big question, where did this come from? Is it from the lab in Wuhan? Once what was thought to be so far-fetched could exactly be the beginnings of what happened with the coronavirus. And apparently the Chinese are cooperating a little bit more. I'm not saying it's full on, you have full access, but there are more conversations, let's put it that way, and more specifics on when did this happen, how did it come up, trying to nail down the start. Because moving forward, as much as I think, right, you live in the present, you're working fast and furiously, you're looking to the future, but you got to know the causes. And then going back, and that's part of the science of it, is looking at where did it come from, where are we headed, what are we doing, and what are the other variants? And then how do we look at vaccines moving forward? Because at this point, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows. We just know some of the reactions, like the one I told you about. We know some of the things that have happened in the past. I've talked about this on the air in the past 15 months. I've known 6 people that have gotten it, all different ages, by the way, in their 20s, several people in their 20s who had bad cases but did get out of it and aren't long haulers. Somebody else who had to sweat it out in a hotel for 2 weeks because scared to death of what could happen with their kids. And then several other people have come on the show and talked about it and talked about suddenly getting sick, and it was different for every single person. So the good news is there's still a lot of science that's going on, and maybe we'll know officially that this started in a lab or if it's something else. But the lab theory is becoming a lot more concrete. It's not a definite yet at this point, but it's looking that way more and more and more each day. A little bit starts to come out about Wuhan and what the science says about what happened in that lab. Coming up next, we're hitting the mailbag. I got my key. I'll meet you in the mailroom.
Hi everyone, I'm Pharmacist Ben, nutritional pharmacist and host of The Bright Side, the good news about nutrition and health. The good news that if you or someone you care about is on a prescription drug or has some kind of health challenge, there's a gentle, natural, healthy way to address most health issues without drugs and without doctors, and it's as simple as understanding how the parts of the body work and how they interact with the foods we eat and the nutrients we take in. If you've heard me on The Bright Side or at one of my presentations, you know I'm a man on a mission to help you understand health and wellness and the remarkable healing powers of the biological system called the human body. And if you like The Bright Side, you're going to love my new website, brightsideben.com. You'll find articles and links. You'll be able to access archives, and we'll even have exclusive information that you won't hear on the radio show. And of course, you can purchase the Longevity Nutritional Supplements and even sign up to join my Longevity team and make an impact, make a difference, and maybe make some money too. Check out brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com, or call 866-735-2470 for more information.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
California Governor Gavin Newsom will face a recall election. The state's Secretary of State confirmed Wednesday that her office had received more than 1.7 million verified signatures, enough to trigger the recall. That election is likely to be scheduled for this fall. If Newsom survives the recall, he would then be up for re-election in 2022. And a CDC advisory committee said Wednesday that there's a likely association between cases of heart inflammation in some adolescents and young adults and the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines. The CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices says that the benefits of vaccination outweigh those risks, given the incidents are extremely rare and usually exhibit mild symptoms. The FDA does plan to include a new warning with the vaccines about the potential risk of myocarditis or pericarditis. You're listening to USA Radio News. The election audit going on in Maricopa County, Arizona, is spurring counties in other states to move to do the same. Lance Pry reports.
As Arizona is wrapping up this week the audit of the 2020 presidential election in Maricopa County, Michigan's Sheboygan County voted Tuesday to authorize a hand recount of the 2020 election. Sheboygan County Board of Commissioners voted 4-3 to authorize a letter to Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson requesting the recount. Last month, Georgia was set to do an audit. More than 145,000 Fulton County absentee ballots will be reviewed as part of the audit in the 2020 presidential election. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
An antivirus software company founder, John McAfee, was found dead Wednesday of an apparent suicide in his Barcelona jail cell. The 75-year-old tycoon reportedly died hours after his extradition to the U.S. on tax evasion charges was approved by a Spanish court. He had been held in jail since being arrested at Barcelona's International Airport back in October. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
What's digging the mailbag?
What's digging the mailbag?
What's digging the mail?
Yeah.
To dig, thanks to all of you, that's what they say in my hometown, for sending me your thoughts on all kinds of things. You can do it 24/7. It's easy. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Matt, listening to us in the Big Easy, says, Kate, what a nightmare what's happening at the border. You nailed it with so many kids that were being displaced, and they're still not sorting that out. Maybe Joe Biden inherited this. Maybe Donald Trump inherited this. But we never deal with it correctly. And now you have Kamala Harris, who fumbled the ball about a month ago, and she's supposed to make yet another visit, this time to Mexico. What are your expectations for that trip, Kate? Yeah, you nailed it. She's going to the border on Friday. And, of course, there's been lots of pressure from the Hill for her or for someone from the White House to go and visit the area. And her task is that. I mean, she's supposed to deal with all of this. This is one of her things as VP. So she's going to go to a place where I lived right there on the border, El Paso, Texas, along with the Homeland Security Secretary. The White House is saying it's part of a coordinated effort between her office, her work, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health and Human Services, to continue to look at the root causes and work in coordination to get the situation under control. The visit comes days before former President Donald Trump also heads to the U.S.-Mexico border on June 30th. Earlier this month, Trump said he accepted an invitation from the Texas governor, we talked about it, Greg Abbott, to visit the border. Abbott recently announced that Texas is going to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border and put out $250 million in a down payment for the project. Harris, over the past several months, has been criticized by Republicans, right, Matt? And some Democrats, too, for not visiting the border, and has said that she is dealing with the root causes rather than the situation, which somebody else is handling. And moments after her trip was announced, the administration was criticized, and the former president took credit for the visit. He said, he released a statement, Donald Trump did, saying, after months of ignoring the crisis at the southern border, it is great that we got Kamala Harris to finally go and see the tremendous destruction and death that they've created, a direct result of Biden ending my very tough but fair border policies. So we'll see what happens, because this is it. I mean, this is one of the top five issues, without a doubt. So, Matt, thanks for that. Let's go to Henry. And Henry says, Kate, I had to say this is enough, and this is why infrastructure has to be somewhere on that priority list, and the Republicans and the Democrats must come together, because you may have seen it. Did you see the pedestrian bridge that collapsed in D.C., and how they had to handle it in a very, very busy area? I think watching infrastructure crumble right outside of the seat of liberty should be enough to make a few Republicans and Democrats come together and figure out how, for goodness sake, bridges can be made whole again in this country. Yeah, that was serious, that collapse. It happened before noon on Wednesday. 295 near Polk Street is where it happened. And it was caused by a collision, it looks like. So five people had to be hospitalized, at least not life-threatening injuries, thank goodness. But imagine watching that bridge fall down. And you see it. I mean, it's everywhere. The bridge is off its... They pulled the bridge off its moorings. And it's so lucky there weren't more serious injuries. There was a truck crushed underneath it. It completely detached from a staircase and a platform at one end. Just debris. And that is a main highway in the city. It's a huge highway. So now, of course, what are they saying? Crash investigation and bridge removal. They have to do that through at least Thursday. Could be maybe longer than that. I'm thinking Thursday, with traffic having to be halted in both ways. Now, it wasn't necessarily structural concerns with the bridge when it was last inspected. The mooring was supposedly structurally sound. The D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, urged commuters to pay attention to the traffic updates, because for rush hour, forget about it. And it is a main artery. Ooh. And seeing that, it just made me think of it. It made me think, infrastructure? Can I get some infrastructure here? Trip, listening to us in the great state of Texas. Kate, I feel you, and I have to laugh in the sense of when you're talking about you needed to build an ark because of all the rain that had been pouring down in your area, your part of the Lone Star State. And, girl, let me tell you, almost anywhere we were getting way too much of it. Floods abound. And now it's the aftermath and the cleanup. If you've walked around in some of these places near any kind of a creek or a river, you see what the damage is like. You know, it's funny, Trip, you should say that. I took Guinness, my pandemic dog, which I'm not giving back. Like, some people are turning them back in, because it's been, well over a year. And there's this awesome, what I call, forest bathing place near my house that you go into it, and you don't feel like you're in a city. You feel like you're out in the country somewhere. You really do. Incredible trees, a small bubbling creek that goes through it. And, of course, it overflowed, smashed into the bridges. I haven't seen that much debris. And things were pulled, fences fell down, They have a, it's sad because the city will have to do a lot of work on that, and they're trying to do the work already. But so your example is right. I see what happens when the water rises, and then when it comes, you know, back down. So there you have it. All right, this one is from Ryan, listening to us in Boston. Kate, I hear that you grew up somewhere in these parts. It might have been Philly. I'm not sure. But I think the East Coast is getting a bad rap from some of these unruly passengers. A lot of them are from the South or from the West, or it's just randomly people from other places. But I keep hearing these things on talk radio about East Coast people causing problems on planes. Well, I don't have all the names and addresses of everybody who has been unruly. It's so crazy to hear that word, right? It's like we're sitting at, you know, at a cafeteria somewhere. Oh, they were unruly. Yeah. No, they are disrupting flights, and people are getting aggressive. And here's the thing. You're always going to be caught on camera because people just hold their phone up. So the FAA is seeking $124,000-plus in fines from travelers who went after flight attendants, specifically when they wouldn't wear their masks. So there has been some relaxed guidelines around mask wearing, but not at airports, trains, commuter rail spots, any of that. It's in effect until September 13th. So they had to change the rules for booze and drinking booze on flights. Since the beginning of the year, the FAA, and this is probably what you're referring to, the FAA has received 3,100 reports of unruly behavior by passengers, including over 2,300 of passengers refusing to comply with the federal transportation mask mandate. So here's the deal. You don't want to wear the mask. You could get fined anywhere from $9,000 to $22,000. Is it worth it? Do you have a spare $22,000 to pay for whatever it is that you do in the air? There was one, the Southwest flight that happened back in February, where you had somebody, the flight was going from Dallas to Albuquerque, and a passenger refused to wear his face mask after being told by flight attendants and the captain to do it while boarding. He used a bandana over his face, but later removed it, was provided a sealed mask, didn't wear it. Shortly after the plane taxied from the gate, he removed his face covering again, and a customer service supervisor boarded the plane to escort him off. The passenger threw the mask at the supervisor, hit him in the jaw, and refused to wear the mask. So that's the nice assault charge. $21,000 is the proposed fine. Taking the swing and going after somebody is the thing that really makes that more egregious and likely to cost. I can't imagine it won't. All right, one quick one. Richard says, hey, Kate, wondering how you are, how the Guinness is, and when you're going to Ireland again. That's funny. Asking about the Ireland thing at the end of that. Guinness is good. He got into a scrape at a park with a pit bull and had a little cut over his eye, but he's fine. He was trying to save, a little dog. And I'm going to Ireland next March, maybe sooner, and, of course, taking the show on some new adventures over there in the home country of many in my family. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. The coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com.
Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Head of Global Safety at Facebook joins us for an interesting conversation about online safety. June is Internet Safety Month, and boy, oh boy, the statistics are shocking. Or maybe they're not shocking, because this is something that parents, of course, and so many others worry about. A recent statistic showed that 81% of parents reported their children started using social media when they were 6 and 13, between 6 and 13. And a high number of those are concerned about their kids interacting with people they don't know online. So, Antigone, could you talk about some of the basic online safety measures you can take when it comes to kids being online, your kids?
Well, first and foremost, if parents are letting their kids on at earlier ages, it's really important to start that conversation about online safety early and earlier. So start as early as 6 years old, talking to your child about online safety, finding out what apps they like, what apps they don't like, if they're uncomfortable online, making sure that you open up a good conversation with them so that they can come to you when they have questions. That's most important. I would say next is parents should really be familiar with the safety settings and privacy settings and tools that any app has when they're putting their child onto that app.
Yeah, so what are some of those program settings and some of those tools? What are some of the best that you've got?
So, well, for example, we have an app called Messenger Kids. It's a messaging app that's designed for younger children. And on that app, there's a parent dashboard where a parent can see who their child is connecting with, recent contacts, how often they're connecting with that person, if their child has blocked somebody, what are the images and videos that have recently been shared to help provide a safer experience for children. There are also controls in that app for the child. So the child can mute a conversation that they don't like. They can block somebody if they don't feel comfortable being connected to that person. And they can report to us if something is happening.
Yeah. What about kids' online confidence? What do you do there? What are some things that kids can do for themselves when they're exploring things online?
Well, I think one of the things that you can do to ensure that your child feels confident is certainly to keep conversation lines open. The other thing is to make sure that your child is very aware of the controls that they have. And then also I think really important is being a good role model for your child. So if you want your child to be kind online, make sure that you're messaging or texting with your child in a respectful way. Make sure that you let your child know that it's okay to expect other people to be respectful of them online.
Yeah. What have you heard that are the biggest concerns from parents about what's happening online?
I think one of the biggest concerns we hear from parents is really wanting to know who their child is connecting with. One of the reasons that we have that parent dashboard in Messenger Kids is because we heard that from parents. They want to have a sense of who their child is contacting and who's contacting their child and have some ability to manage that.
Yeah. Where can people go for more information and resources on what you and I have been talking about here today?
Well, we have a safety center, and they can go to Facebook /safety, and they'll find our safety center there. There's a parent portal right inside of that safety center with tips for parents. If they want to learn more about Messenger Kids, they can just go straight to messengerkids.com.
Antigone Davis, head of global safety at Facebook, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
So it's interesting thinking about internet safety and some of the things that parents are doing, monitoring what's happening with their kids on social media, because we know things that can happen in everything from Facebook Messenger to chat rooms to Instagram, you know, and people who pose that are as young kids, but they're not teenagers, etc., and they're absolutely out there trolling. So anything that keeps them safer, I think, is a good thing. How about Bumble? More than 750 employees got the week off. Yeah, you know, it's a popular dating app. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Shelby Wagner about internet dating, actually, and what's that like, and red flags and scams and things to look out for. But for the Bumble people, they are going to have a few staff members on hand because they have to make sure the app is operating normally, so they get a separate paid week off, but 750 people off. Why did they get the week off? Because the CEO, Whitney Wolf Heard, made the decision to do the whole paid time off after picking up, she said, on employees' collective burnout. That's pretty good. I feel like people around me, because that's a creative kind of job, I feel like the people around me are burnt out, so I'm giving them the week off. Nice, right? Other companies, LinkedIn, Mozilla, were offered a paid week off company-wide, too. And most of them, apparently, a lot of them anyway, took the companies up on it. So there is this burnout amid the pandemic that has stretch workers so thin, so they're still navigating remote work and duties at home and figuring out, are they going back to the office and what does that mean? And it's, you know, we are on the other side, or we look like and feel like we're on the other side of what's happening in the pandemic, but it's still dealing with the caving it thing. I mean, I used to use the word caving it all the time, you know, years ago, that, it's like one of those weekends, I just want to cave it. It's one thing to cave it for a long weekend or a week or whatever, but we've been caving it for longer than that. And it's put some people in this funk that even as we seem to be turning a very big corner, people are still hit with that because I think it's the lingering effects. And certainly remote work, that makes sense. I can see how that could burn some people out who weren't used to doing that, and especially with whatever their job criteria was and what the duties were once they're in the job. I mean, you think of teachers, and you're talking to kids on a screen, and they're answering back to you on a screen, and it's very cool that that can happen, but there is the downside of that, and that's the lack of connection, and then trying to figure something out and make those extra calls to whoever's teaching, you know, the class. So it all goes back to the same thing. There is heavy burnout among a lot of people who have done the remote thing. And I guess it could be heavy burnout if you think, if I said to you, one in four couples sleep in separate bedrooms, what would you think that's about? If this were a show and I asked that question, I'd give you three choices. But what's happening is, according to a survey from the National Sleep Foundation, even the Better Sleep Council, they say couples sleeping apart has become increasingly common. One in four couples now sleep in separate beds. I bet you that's a taboo thing, right? I think people would be reluctant to talk about it, right? But for a lot of couples, supposedly, sleeping apart can be the best thing for their relationship. But sleeping separately, you have to have those extra spaces to be able to do that. And it, some of it could do with snoring, right? You have a spouse that snores or a significant other that snores. I mean, how do you sleep with that? So they have to get the Darth Vader mask, and a lot of people don't want to do that. So snoring, of course, is on the list. I mean, why would you sleep apart? Restlessness, parasomnia, lots of trips to the bathroom, incompatible sleep schedules. I can see that. But the research doesn't tell you whether couples who slept apart for the purposes of better sleep have any less of a romantic connection than couples who share a bed. I'm blaming the snoring. I think it's the snoring. I do. And I guess if you had different schedules, that could be tough. If one was night and one was day, and especially if they were sensitive to any kinds of sound, yeah. How about you? Are you sleeping alone? Are you sleeping in separate bedrooms? Is it kind of like what this research shows? Do you have burnout? Are you getting a paid week of vacation? Oh, that'd be nice. Send me your thoughts, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to KateDelaneyRadio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to KateDelaneyRadio.com, click on books, and special offer today.